A carnivore diet refers to the consumption of animal-based foods. People who follow a carnivorous dietary pattern eat almost exclusively only meat and other animal-based foods. And you're about to learn everything about it. Welcome to Carnivore Today. All things carnivore, ketogenic living, and metabolic health. If you're looking to shed those extra pounds, reduce your dependency on prescriptions, or even heal metabolic disorders, we've got you covered. It's all about the latest research, success stories, and we'll give you practical tips to help you thrive on your wellness journey. And we're also here to quell some misconceptions about it.
What about fiber? Won't I explode without eating fiber?
Fiber is not necessary.
I'll get fat eating all that fat.
No, you will not.
I'm not going to have any energy because no carbs.
You'll have more.
I'm going to have a heart attack from eating all that red meat.
False.
Carnivore Today, where your health journey begins. Now your host, Adam Lacey.
Hello, fellow carnivore enthusiasts. I'm Adam from Carnivore Today. And in today's interview, we're chatting with Nia from Nia's Way YouTube channel. Her triumph over IBS is definitely something you won't want to miss. This condition affects millions and can be reversed. And Nia explains how it can be done in a way that benefits the health of your entire body. Hi, we're here with Nia from Nia's Way YouTube channel. How you doing?
I'm doing well, thanks. How are you?
I'm doing great, thank you. So let's start off by having you tell everybody a little bit about yourself and maybe your family life, things like that, how old you are, and then we'll jump into the carnivore business.
Okay. I'm Nia. I'm 36 at the time of filming this, and I am engaged to my wonderful partner, Ben, and we have a three and a half year old little girl. And so we just recently moved to Dallas-Fort Worth area in Texas earlier this spring. And so we're kind of getting settled in here and just enjoying the hottest summer on record, I feel like. It's been very, very hot, but we're enjoying it so far. And yeah, I've been on the carnivore diet before. And so I can talk a little bit about kind of my first, my journey into finding that. And then when I got pregnant with our little girl, I did go off the diet, partially, I guess you could say. And so now I've been making my way back again to it because I just realized that the benefits were something I still wanted to go after. And so that's kind of where I'm at right now.
Very cool. Very cool. So you're on the carnivore diet. So yeah, let's lead into that. So what actually led you to the carnivore diet originally?
So I suffered from what I considered to be pretty severe IBS symptoms since I was a teenager. And so it was around age 15, 16 when I started, you know, having painful spasms in my gut, having bouts of kind of the IBSD versus IBSC, just not being able to digest things very well. I didn't realize what that was at the time, and I was very embarrassed about it, and so I didn't really tell anyone about it. And I kind of just, it was just something that I started to live with and assumed that that was how, just something that I was going to have, and there wasn't really... I'd heard about some treatments and things like that, but it never seemed like a path that I wanted to go down. I always felt like that was sort of a band-aid, and I really wanted to discover if there were any natural ways that I could deal with that. And so I started in my early 20s researching diet, and I kind of got into the plant-based thing, thinking that that was the healthiest way to eat, and that was that more fiber was going to help my gut. And all kind of a lot of the things that we're told about digestive health, meat's bad for you, red meat's especially bad for you, saturated fat's bad, all that kind of stuff. And so I actually started out looking at the blood type diet. And according to my blood type, it also told me that I should be vegetarian, basically, and eat little to no meat. And so I started out kind of plant-based. I tried raw vegan on and off a few times in my early 20s. But long story short, that did not help me improve at all. It actually made things worse. And I had severe brain fog. Looking back, I can see more of the mood, the way that it affected my mood. Now that I've had some clarity on the other side, I can really see, wow, like that was really bad. And so I was trying to just push through and give it time and see if it would help me. But there was kind of a point where it was like, this whole thing that I've been subscribed to is not working for me. And so that's when I found the paleo and sort of the ancestral realm on the internet of eating a more ancestrally appropriate diet. And so I kind of jumped into that, cut out grains, and I got significantly better at first, but then kind of plateaued right away. And so after that, over the next 5 to 6 years-ish, mid to late 20s, I just progressively started cutting out food groups that I felt were not, you know, helping me. I got to keto, and then I learned about FODMAPs. And so I tried to combine keto with very low FODMAPs, which on keto, that's kind of the only vegetables that you are eating. It's the low carb, green leafy, cruciferous type of vegetables. So really when I started to combine the low carb thing with the low FODMAP, that's when I started to think, okay, now I'm actually making some progress. And then I remember being in the kitchen one day, and I think a couple of days before that, I had just eaten some meat as a snack, kind of a thing, grab and go. And it hadn't really hit me that nothing had happened after I had just eaten that meal of meat only. Normally I'd have a big salad and olive oil and, you know, some cucumbers and things and put meat on top. And I remember standing in the kitchen going, okay, maybe meat's the only thing I can eat. Like, maybe I was actually kind of frustrated at the point. I was like, you know, is this the only thing I can eat? But it was like that light bulb moment where the thought had never occurred to me before that you can just do that. And so I went back to the internet and I found a blog called Zero Carb Zen. And I actually looked it up recently. It's still up. I think she's got like maybe 6 years or something like that under her belt now, and has recovered from a lot of things. And then Michaela Peterson's story came up on YouTube. And so then I kind of started, this was back in like 2018. And so I think Joe Rogan at that time, that was maybe when he started talking about it, Sean Baker. And so I started seeing, okay, this is a thing that people are doing, and it seems to be helping people, especially with like gut issues and autoimmune stuff and these just idiopathic things that nobody can figure out why they, you know, we can't get rid of them or handle them. And so I did that for about 11 months, and then I got pregnant, and I had, you know, nausea, aversion to everything, like just everything tasted gross and smelled gross. And it was just a rough time for, you know, the first probably trimester and a half. And so I kind of went back to eating potatoes and just like the bland starchy carbs was really all I could stomach. And, but eventually I ate a more balanced diet. I ate quite a bit of meat towards the end of the pregnancy, but, I also ate essentially a low fiber diet. I knew fiber was bad for my gut at that point. And so I pretty much avoided a lot of vegetables still, but I ate a lot of fish and seafood, which I know they tell you not to eat kind of when you're pregnant, but that's something I craved. And so, you know, I really tried to listen to my body and just kind of get through it, because it was, you know, it's not the most pleasant thing physically, I guess, at least in my experience. But so then over the last 3 years or so, I've been trying to progressively get back lower and lower carb. And I've struggled with some blood sugar issues and things like that as I've tried to navigate that. So, and then to kind of wrap up the whole story, in April, first of May this year, I decided to like really commit to this again. And so I did about 3 months where I'd say it was about 80% compliant with the diet. I had a few, you know, cheat meals or things like that here or there. But then, this last 30 days plus now I've been strict and no alcohol.
Nice. That's awesome. Yeah. I'm glad you had success in terms of the IBS. I don't know what that's like. Can you kind of give everybody a little bit of a rundown of what exactly that is like?
Yeah, for me, it was, again, looking back when I actually sat down to do, you know, my healing journey story, there's so many things now that I can see that were connected to it. So, I mean, on the surface, obviously, there's a lot of gas, bloating, pain. Every time I ate, I would usually have to like run to the bathroom on the one hand, or I would be so constipated that I wouldn't be able to go over like 5 to 7 days. But while feeling like I need to, and I'm so bloated and I have gas all the time and cramping and pain, but like nothing will come out or not, it will not be complete. And so social situations were really hard. And I worked in restaurants as a bartender for many years and also waited tables. And so in that type of job, like, you don't really get formal breaks. You don't really, you can't just like run to the bathroom whenever you need to. And so that was really hard because I would kind of get into these like spasm situations where it's like, I need to go right now, but I wouldn't be able to. And so then I would just kind of not eat because I knew anytime I ate, there was going to be some kind of situation that happened. And so I would start to develop this fear of food, fear of being in social situations, fear of really being anywhere too far away from a bathroom, all that kind of stuff, because it's like your life revolves around these symptoms and how painful it is and how embarrassing it can be. So yeah, it makes you feel like that's the number one thing that I always had to be thinking about, you know? And so it creates a lot of anxiety. And I noticed that, you know, I've kind of always been prone to being anxious, probably for, you know, drinking too much coffee, not sleeping, all kinds of different reasons. But that, looking back, that was a really big reason why, you know, I struggled with a lot of anxiety too around eating, and then developed disordered eating patterns of binging and restriction, because I would binge when it's like I'm home and I know I can go and be in the bathroom for 2 hours, you know, and then I wouldn't eat for a couple of days. It's like, it just really destroyed my relationship with food in many ways. And so, yeah, when I first got on the diet, it was an overnight change. As soon as I cut out those last bits of plants, it was like the bloating went away, the gas started to go away, pain went away. And then over the first 3 months or so, I'd say by 3 months, it was like all the symptoms were gone. All the
That's incredible. That is awesome.
It was, it's like life changing.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like the word or the term irritable bowel syndrome doesn't even do it justice to what it actually is.
You know, and I did go to several, you know, different doctors, and I was in the emergency room once and stuff like that. And on the one hand, I probably could have pursued a diagnosis and maybe some treatment. That may have been a smart thing to do. But so I never got officially diagnosed, but I have suspicion that it could have been ulcerative colitis because of some of the things that, you know, I was getting colonics and doing a lot of home enemas toward in those last few years before I found very low carb, keto and carnivore. And I would have a lot of things that would come out that I hear are similar or in line with what other people who have been diagnosed with UC say. And so, yeah, I don't know exactly how irritable is irritable, but it was barely irritated. Yeah, for sure.
Cool. Yeah. I'm glad that's much better for you now. I can't imagine. I mean, I've had my own challenges with things, but I couldn't imagine having to be tethered, you know, basically to a bathroom, if you will, you know, I mean, that would be super frustrating, and it's got to be very freeing now that you don't have to go through that at all. So that's really incredible.
Absolutely. Yeah, it gives you a lot of your life back, for sure.
That's awesome. So have you experienced any other benefits? You had mentioned, you know, brain fog. You don't seem to have that anymore. What other non-scale type victories have you encountered?
Yeah, I would say the brain fog is definitely an improvement. Again, round one, as I call it, I I remember just thinking, like, while I was at work, I noticed a marked difference. Again, probably around that 3 to 4 months mark of being strict that, you know, I could just, I could remember everything people ordered. I didn't have to write it down. You know, I could remember, because you're thinking about, okay, I have this appetizer up. I have drinks I need to pick up. I need to, you know, bring this person some ranch and bust this table and cash this person, like doing all these multitask type of things. Mm-hmm. And I just remember thinking like, I didn't even need paper, you know, I could just remember what to do and kind of juggle all this stuff. And I just got much quicker in my clarity and my ability to do my job. And that's something that when I came off the diet, I noticed. So on the one hand, my digestive systems didn't come back as nearly as bad as they had, you know, or they were beforehand. And so I know that a lot of healing took place in that almost year that I was on it. But the brain fog came back and kind of the mood, the apathy sort of / depressive, you know, episodes would come back. And so that's kind of been the biggest thing that I've noticed now in round two is like, I didn't have as much to recover from digestive wise as the first time around, but it's really been more about like emotional stability and my mental clarity and how I'm feeling, you know, like a baseline of feeling happy and feeling content in doing the little things. And I'm starting to get that clarity back where it's like, I don't have to write a list of my to-dos and then go back and look at it every 15 minutes going, what am I doing? Why am I, you know, like feeling like I'm lost half the time. And so that's starting to come back quite a bit. And even within, since I published my 30-day update in the last 5 or 6 days, I've noticed, you know, incremental improvements. And so, yeah, it's, some things are a slower process, I think, but that's what I'm really noticing now is that my mood is lifting, the fog is clearing again, and I'm just calmer and I can handle a little bit more stress than I used to be able to.
Yeah, that's awesome. So, Have you experienced any improvements in your practice of yoga by eating a carnivore lifestyle?
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm glad you asked that because that's something I've been doing. That's really the only thing I've been doing consistently over a long period of time, you know, with all the diet changes and stuff like that. That's kind of been the form of exercise that I've always gone back to no matter what kind of thing. And so... Mm-hmm. I can look back on that and see improvements. The first thing I would say is that a lot of yoga postures, especially twisting postures and stuff, are a lot of teachers will comment that these are for your digestive system, or they'll help with constipation, or they'll help with, you know, kind of essentially wringing out the organs and kind of detoxing and flushing things out. And so a lot of times I would go to yoga for that when I was still sick. And I was trying the diets and the diets weren't really working. And so I always thought that was kind of interesting that although, you know, yoga helped me deal with stress and made me feel stronger and more flexible and all of that, it didn't really help with my digestion a whole lot. Like I never noticed that being a thing. And that was always kind of disappointing to me. But I will say now that I don't have those foods in my life anymore, that I'm at kind of a baseline of digestive health, now I kind of start to notice things like that where I'll do like a really twisty class or I'll hold like revolved poses for longer. And I can actually feel, you know, like release in my abdomen area. You know, I can actually feel some of these things that the teachers were saying about, you know, the purpose of these poses in some way. And I think I was just so like blocked up in the past that like I couldn't even get some of those benefits. And now, you know, and maybe it's just placebo, but I do feel like it's yoga is better now from a baseline of health versus when I was sick.
That's awesome. Yeah. That's, the benefits to this, just seem never ending. The more people that I talk to is like, I learned something new every single time. Like with the yoga just now, I never knew that there was poses that you could do to twist and help in that area. That's definitely awesome. So let's shift gears a second and let's ask you kind of what your what your hobbies are and things like that. And, you know, what you do in your free time.
Well, I am actually into sewing right now. And I've kind of had that as a hobby on and off over the years. I've always been interested in like making my own clothes and making things for around the house and kind of DIYing things. I like to go and like thrift shop and maybe find something that's too big for me and kind of alter it to fit, or I like to make clothes and things for my little ones. So I've been getting back into that actually this summer. And so in my free time, I do that. And I make some headbands. My fiance's a sushi chef. I always
blend
those two words together. And they wear these headbands at work. Mm-hmm. And so I've been made a couple for him. And then a bunch of other people wanted some like cool headbands to wear at work. So I'm like, all right, I'll do that, you know? So that's kind of a little fun, just side hobby that I do. I love to study. I love to read and like think kind of. I like to think about ideas and journal out and kind of just learn about humans and human psychology and health and nutrition and mindset and all that kind of stuff. So definitely someone who likes to just sit and read and study and kind of have a candle and do that in the morning.
Nice. That's awesome. Do you have a couple of book recommendations?
Yeah. On the carnivore side of things, I'm getting through, Eat Like a Human by Dr. Schindler. I think this is a really cool book. I first saw him on Dr. Chaggy's podcast, I think, or on his channel. And so he takes it opens with a lot of the ancestral Paleolithic and archaeology like when we've been hunting and fire and all that kind of stuff. So it gives a lot of evidence for, you know, the way of the eating that we're following. It also talks about vegetables in there too, but it's, you know, eating things the way they were meant to be eaten in more traditional ways, preparing plants and, you know, all of our food in ways that make them the most bioavailable and nutritious for us. And so I really like that approach because he's a super cool, just very passionate person too. And you can tell, I mean, he's traveled all around the world and obviously loves what he's doing and wants to help people too. So that one I'm reading. And then I guess all the other thing I'm reading is Proverbs. Just kind of digging back into reading some scripture. And so that's
awesome.
Yeah, I've been reading.
It's always good stuff for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So let's get back to the carnivore. And one question that I had was, so you have a video on your channel about foods that you purchase at the grocery store and in terms of cost and things like that. So what would you say to somebody that is considering the carnivore diet and they say it's too expensive? They can't do it because meat's too expensive.
I would challenge that. And I would say that I think from almost any way you look at it, carnivore is more economical. So a lot of things are going to depend on everybody's individual lifestyle, where you're feeding a family, you're feeding yourself, where you live, cost of living, all that kind of stuff, what you prefer to eat. But, you know, I think in one scenario, if you're coming from like a standard American diet and you actually sit down and you add up all the snacks, all the soda pops, all the eating out, all of the little things you buy at the gas station when you're, you know, there every morning, or the coffees, sometimes we don't realize how much we're really spending and we think, oh, this is my grocery budget. But all these other things that you wouldn't be eating on a carnivore diet, you can, you know, assess those and count those towards what you're spending. And so I think just doing an audit of your true spending and finding out really what am I spending on food and, you know, food related entertainment, that's your kind of starting line. And then you can compare that to, okay, if I'm eating an average of 1 to 2 pounds a day of you can just, you know, pick a bunch of meats, add them up together, divide it out by price per pound and see, okay, this is an approximate amount that I'd be eating for a week versus what I'm spending doing all these other things. And so, and even if you're coming from a more, say, plant-based or like whole food produce-rich diet, I mean, produce isn't cheap either. I mean, I still walk through the produce department or I look, you know, I scroll through produce stuff and it's not cheap either, especially if you're trying to get organic or get it in the right quantity so it's not sitting in the back of your fridge going bad. I mean, there's all kinds of things that go into food cost. And so I think really taking an honest look at what you're spending and, you know, what you're throwing away, what you could be saving in general will help anybody, you know, with their budget. But I think I've been able to find great deals on meat. I know obviously buying in bulk helps and you get a better price per pound on everything. And trying to be creative and use what you can for multiple different recipes or I guess I'm thinking of the drumsticks that I bought and like I put half of them aside to make drumsticks and then all those bones are going to be going to broth. So those are going in the freezer. They're not going to be wasted. The skins I took off to make into chicken skin chips in the oven. And then the other stuff I ground because I had a specific recipe that I wanted to make. And so for about $6 for that whole bag of chicken drumsticks, I got like 3 to 4 uses out of that. And so, you know, it's a little bit of nickel and diming sometimes to really save sometimes. But if you let that add up, you know, I think I spend less now eating carnivore myself and meat-based for my family than we did before when we were buying, you know, snacks and, you know, all the other stuff. And then, of course, you got to think about your health and how and the cost of that. If you're getting off medications, if you're seeing you're having to see your doctor less, if you're, you know, able to get outside and exercise more and maybe do that as entertainment instead of doing other things that you might have relied on that may have costed money. So, I mean, there's all kinds of, like you were saying, these benefits stack up over time and the ripple effects of that can also be seen financially, I think, as well.
Yeah, that's awesome. I've experienced the exact same thing. So our food budget, at least for me, has reduced, it seems, at least by half. And one of the main reasons is because of we're not eating out nowhere near as much.
Yeah.
Eating out is just so, so expensive. And, you know, I can go get a 3-pack of ribeyes at Sam's as a treat. And, you know, it's like $35 or something like that. And you go to a restaurant and to get a ribeye that size, it's just one of them is $35. And it doesn't taste as good as what I've made. So,
yeah,
it's insane. So the cost savings is incredible. And like you had mentioned, a really good point is medications that you're getting off of, even if it's something as simple as headache medicine, because you have headaches all the time because the sugar highs and crashes and the caffeine highs and lows, and you're taking Tylenol or whatever. I mean, you're not going to be spending money on something as simple as that. So yeah, that's a really good point.
Right. Yeah.
Let's see. So I'd like to get your thoughts on the food pyramid and what we've been taught in terms of how we should eat and, you know, what the experts are promoting now versus your actual real life experience eating a carnivore lifestyle.
Yeah, that's a loaded topic, you know. I think I would say on the positive side of things, I think overall people are at least questioning the food pyramid now. I think more and more people are looking at that and going, okay, where did this come from? Why is it not seeming to change? Although our disease and the problems we're having chronically as a society are changing, they are continuing to go up. And I think some of the things I have the biggest problem with messaging wise are, you know, just eat a balanced diet and, you know, you can have everything in moderation, even Coca-Cola or Skittles or anything like that, because, you know, you should eat for pleasure and food is enjoyment and you know, on the one hand, I can agree with the fact that food is something that brings us together and all that kind of stuff. But at the end of the day, it's nutrition. It's fuel for our bodies. And it's, you know, we need to be putting the things in that are going to help build and repair and restore our bodies and help us be strong. And so, you know, I think that there's a lot of information that's not being shown to us. I think the studies that come out that we see are only the tip of the iceberg of what actually gets done. I think a lot of studies just get file drawered and they don't say the right thing. And so they don't become a part of the conversation. And whether that's the conversation that the people at the USDA are having and informing the policymakers about what kind of laws and policies we need to recommend for people, or if it's happening at that level or some other level, I don't know. But I think there's a lot of, I think there's a reason why people are confused about nutrition. And I think there's a reason why their eggs are good and then eggs are bad and blueberries are a superfood. And then, but you should watch out for this. And they keep flip-flopping everything to keep us so confused that we just go, oh, okay, I'll just, you know, this looks good, or it says healthy on it, or it says it's good for my heart. And so I'll just trust that. Because it's actually a lot of work and it takes a lot of education and understanding and perspective in order to compile and look through all this data and really figure out what studies are good and what studies are bad and where all this information came from. And, you know, there is sort of a religious ideological backbone to vegetarianism. And I think that has had an influence in why we have a plant-based narrative and why the plant-based, you know, pyramid is still set up the way that it is. And I'm not anti-religion, but I don't think that someone's religious perspective it should inform public policy for all of the Americans or all of Europe or wherever we might be talking about. And so I think there's a lot we don't know. I think there's a lot that's censored on purpose. And I think that the sicker we get and the more people realize that the drugs aren't helping, the drugs that now have a side effect that I need another drug to manage that side effect. And now I have six drugs I have to take and we don't know what cascade of events that's causing in the body. And the more people just get sick and tired of this, like I did, and just said, screw it. I'm not listening to any diet information, no more doctors, no more nothing. I'm just going to listen to my body and figure out this path for myself. I think, you know, that leads people to the truth as far as I can see it.
Yeah, that's awesome. So your carnivore journey seems to be the exact opposite of the food pyramid then.
Yeah, just flip it.
Nice. You're the captain of your own ship now. That's awesome.
Yeah, and it is very empowering, kind of like what we were talking about earlier with the non-scale victories. It's like you look back at your journey and how much you've suffered, and I hear so many stories, and I'm getting so many comments on my videos now too from just people. A lot of people who are in there, they're telling me they're in their 50s and 60s, even 70s, and they're saying, you know, I did this my whole life. I listened to all this, and I tried all this, you know, the way that we're told. And I'm finally, you know, getting my health back at age 59 or 64 or 73 now that I found carnivore. And so the empowerment that I can read, feel that through their comments, you know, just the elation that they're free from this crap. And so, yeah, it's very powerful.
Yeah, that's awesome. So if somebody is out there and has IBS type symptoms and things like that, and they're considering changing their diet or trying to find some kind of a solution, what would be your top advice for that person in regards to starting a carnivore diet?
I would definitely do my best to keep a food journal of some type, or at least jotting down a few notes about what you're eating each day. The hard thing about this, at least from my experience, is that eating something didn't always cause an immediate reaction. A lot of times I would have that, but as I got as I cut more and more things out, I noticed, okay, I haven't eaten an onion for 2 weeks and now I had a couple pieces. And then 3 days later, you know, I have this eczema breakout, or I have, you know, cramping and diarrhea, or I have something that happened, you know. So it's kind of hard to nail things unless you really start with a clean slate. So I would, if you want to take the kind of tiptoeing in approach like I did in the first round, I would try to be really, really observant of your symptoms, what you're eating. I would say either try to start with a restricted window so you at least have some fasting time to kind of know, like, okay, how am I reacting to this meal? Brain fog, tiredness, any gut symptoms, all that kind of thing. But, you know, and this is going to depend on everybody's individual status, but there's a good argument for going cold turkey and just hitting that clean slate right off the bat, going 30 days, 60 days, 90 days, as long as you can, to see the place that you can get to, and then try to add a couple things, or, you know, one thing at a time back in, if that's something you want to try. So there's kind of two approaches to it. I did the sort of food journal, being observant of my symptoms, but then at one point I was like, okay, we just need to remove everything and then start from a clean plate.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really good advice, especially the journaling. I wish I had done more of that in my journey, to recognize, you know, what was there, what isn't there now, and what affects me. But I just went in, just jumped straight in. You know, I'm like, I'm just that kind of person. Ripped the Band-Aid off. Let's go. Let's do this. I suffered for a couple of weeks in the laboratory, but That resolved itself, and man, it's been clear sailing ever since. It's the greatest decision I've ever made in my entire life, and it's amazing the healing that the human body can do when you just give it the right fuel. I mean, you don't even have to do anything; it just does. It's a miracle.
Yeah, that's so true.
Yeah. So, is there anything else that we haven't covered that you may want to talk about or get out there?
I think, you know, overall, looking back at everything, the other thing I would say is that I think people hold on to a lot of guilt or a lot of like self-negativity about, you know, maybe your diet in the past or some of the habits we've had or mistakes that we've made, or, you know, just not seeing this path before. I hear that, and I felt that myself. It's like, well, gosh, why didn't I figure this out 10 years ago? You know, I would be in such a better place. And now that I've kind of been able to reflect back on my journey in a deeper sense, I feel like, you know, everything happened to me for a reason. I think that suffering and going through something like that can kind of rebuild your relationship with yourself. At least that's how I feel. It's like, I feel like I can be honest with myself now. You know, I can say, okay, Nia, this is something you need to quit doing, or, you know, this would really be healthy for you to do. And I actually like listen to myself and actually put steps to implement that, versus years in the past, I would say, oh, well, you know, you're not strong enough to cut that out. You're not strong enough to, you know, do this diet because you're weak. And I'd have all these, you know, negative loops in my mind about why I couldn't do things. And you're just a sick person, and that's your identity, kind of a thing. And so I would just say to anybody who is suffering with anything, it's like, give yourself grace and know that, you know, even if you have a slip up or a cheat meal or something, as long as you keep returning back and you keep giving yourself another chance and saying, okay, you know, in my case, like, okay, you ate this yesterday, but you know what? We're not completely starting over. We're just building on that. And I'm going to learn from that experience, figure out what my triggers were, you know, what, go a little deeper and figure out why that happened, instead of just automatically blaming myself and saying, oh, you're a failure, let's just go eat cake and donuts, you know. And so it's helped me develop a more positive relationship with myself as far as my goals and my health. And so that's just some encouragement I would leave anybody who's feeling like they're struggling to get into it or stick to it. It's like, just don't quit, you know, don't give up.
Yeah, that's awesome. That's really great advice. Yeah. So let's find out where everybody can find you on YouTube and any other social media accounts if they want to connect to with you. And then we'll also put links to your channel in the description below and make sure that everybody can just, you know, one click, go check you out.
Yeah. Right now I'm just on YouTube as Nia's Way. And right, I've had some people ask me about Instagram and Facebook and stuff, and I'm, you know, I haven't used those platforms in so long. I'm thinking about maybe starting an Instagram again, but it's just Nia's Way. And I'll have a website up soon. It'll be niasway.co. I have some shirts and
nice
other things up there.
What's that? What does that one say?
It says Beauty by Beast.
Ah, nice.
A lot of people have awesome. The Body by Beast, you know, right. And I was like, yeah. Oh, maybe one for the ladies, I guess.
Right, yeah. That's awesome.
For anyone, but you know.
Right. Very cool. Well, Nia, it was an honor to speak with you today and get to know a little bit more about you. I know some people specifically that I'm going to share this, our interview with, and hopefully they take heed and at least consider this way of eating, because I know that they're suffering right now with the exact thing that you went through. So I definitely appreciate you for your time, and I thank you for taking the time to chat with me.
Yeah, I appreciate the invite. It's been great.
Awesome.
Let's get the message out.
Awesome. All right. We'll talk later.
Okay. Bye.
Thanks, Nia, for sharing your uplifting journey with us. If you haven't done so yet, be sure to subscribe to Nia's Way on YouTube, where you'll find some really awesome content. Thank you again. Stay amazing. And I'll see you in the next one. Bye for now.
Listening to Carnivore Today.
We're one of the most unique podcasts on the web, as we explore not only the carnivore diet, but the misconceptions about it as well along the way. There are so many benefits from this extremely healthy and fulfilling diet. We hope you've enjoyed the show. If you did, make sure to like, rate, and review. And we'll be back soon. But in the meantime, find the website at carnivoretoday.com. Also find us on YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, and Twitter at Carnivore Today. See you next time.